Christ's name I pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 51, he says, Paul said, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You could imagine Paul saying that. He's talking about his own life. He said, I'm going to be living. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So many people trying to live by the law, and the very strength of sin is by the law. The law is what condemns a man, not saves him, shows him that he's a sinner. Verse 57, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that verse number 58, there's a statement in it that says, the work of the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I'm going to try to deal with that subject. Paul was dealing in this particular, somebody had written him a letter, began to tell him different things that were taking place within the church and questions they had about spiritual gifts, about diversities and divisions within the church. And so Paul wrote this particular letter and answered these questions. And so he's answering this. You look in the 16th verse. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, he even deals with tithing. You'd think he'd end on a high note with the resurrection, us being raised from the grave, but he doesn't end there. He begins to go right into tithing. You say, I don't know if I want to listen. Well, that's where Paul is going there, but that's not where I'm going this morning. But in verse number 58, he says, the work of the Lord. And so Paul dealt with divisions in the church. He dealt with discipline in the church. He dealt with difficulties in the church, and he dealt with disbelief in the church. But in this verse, it says, therefore, verse 58, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, and listen to this statement, always abounding in the what? Work of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so the Lord gives a commission here that we need to be abounding in the work of the Lord, and that the labor that I labor, that you labor in the Lord, is not in vain as long as this labor that's in the Lord. We do a lot of labor as far as to make a living. There's nothing wrong with that. But how much labor are we doing for the Lord? And so he says here, the commendation that Paul is giving here by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit is the work of the Lord. We need to be involved in the work of the Lord. Jesus said himself before he went to the cross in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 13, he said, occupy till I come. And that means we need to be busy working, busy doing what God wants us to do. Now God has given us the victory. We see there that Paul gives the victory song there in the 57th verse, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Am I too loud? Okay. All right, that's fine. Don't turn it down if I'm not too loud, but sometimes I don't want to be hurting your ears. But anyhow, it sounds louder here, so that's just our pipe down there. Anyhow, verse number 57, victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we have victory. God has given us victory. When the Lord saved me, you know what he did? He saved me from my sin and from myself and from death and from hell and from the power of sin. The Lord has saved me. And so under that, the Lord has saved me. He's redeemed me. That means he bought me. He paid the price. The Bible says he also justified us. What does that mean? That means he declared us righteous. He declared us holy. He's the one that made us at peace with God. Romans 5, verse number 1. He declared us. And then the Bible says he sanctified us. That means he set us apart. A believer, a saint of God, is different than just the average world. He's been saved. He's been set apart. That's the victory that we have, that all that Christ did all of that. We didn't do any of it. Christ did it all. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ did all the victory. Christ paid for the law. Christ paid for the sin. And so we have victory. And so he goes from there, that is not a commission to say, you know what? The Lord's done it all. I'm saved. I'm going to take my ease and just relax. I got a home in heaven. That's where a lot of people are. They think, I've been saved. I got a home in heaven. That's all I have to do. That's not what Paul says here. Paul says we ought to abound in the work of the Lord after this victory. And so in this thing, I just want to deal with this one verse about this particular statement, the work of the Lord. So I just want to look at this one verse. And the first thing I wrote down, what is the work of the Lord? What is the work of the Lord? Before I answer that question, who is it that Paul was talking to? Now, I'm going to ask you questions. I'm not asking you necessarily to answer them, but I want you to answer them in your heart. I want you to answer them in your mind. I want you to think about what the Word of God is saying. Who is Paul preaching to here? Is he preaching to a bunch of preachers? Is he preaching to a conference there? He's talking to all these preachers. Is he at a Gideon's meeting where he's trying to urge them to go forward? No. Was Timothy there? Timothy wasn't there. I want you to look in the 16th chapter and verse number 10. He said, now if Timothy come, see that he may be with you without fear. Paul wasn't there. He's writing this letter. Timothy wasn't there. And so he's telling this church, the church of Corinth, he's telling them to be in the work of the Lord. Timothy wasn't there. Apollos wasn't there. Apollos was a great preacher. You can read the same thing. He said, I ask Apollos. Look in the 16th chapter there. In verse number 12, he says, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. So Apollos wasn't there. Remember they were having a division at the beginning of the chapter of this book. They were beginning, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas or Peter. Peter wasn't there. He's not preaching to preachers. He's preaching to lay people, to Christians, to saints. Why? Because these saints were gifted, talented, and had abilities that God had given them to help the work of the Lord. Didn't we go through all those gifts that were given there? He says, you're talented, you're gifted by God to be in the work of the Lord. To be in the work of the Lord. And so I'm trying to challenge you and myself to be in the work of the Lord. Oftentimes when we look at the work of the Lord, we associate the work of the Lord with a pastor or pastoral work or a missionary work or maybe even an evangelist. Or we may say the work of the Lord has to do with some full-time office in the work of the Lord or at least in Christian work. But that is really not. That is a small part of the work of the Lord. I wrote down some things that is part of the work of the Lord. Teaching a class of three-year-olds is the work of the Lord. I think my wife, I don't know if she did it, but she put a flyer in the bulletin. I don't know if it wasn't in mine, about people signing up for the nursery. Ladies signing up for the nursery. Do you know that's a work of the Lord? That someone that has children can sit under the sound and hear the gospel preached or hear the message of God preached and not have to sit there and hold and deal with the baby all the time. Somebody ought to be under the sound of the gospel. And so somebody's got to keep the nursery. Somebody's got to cut the grass. Somebody's got to do the flowers. Somebody's got to do the maintenance. All that is part of the work of the Lord. Fixing a meal for a family is the work of the Lord. Open your home for help is the work of the Lord. Working a bus route is the work of the Lord. Singing in the choir is part of the work of the Lord. Organizing and keeping records is part of the work of the Lord. Being a prayer warrior is a work of the Lord. Working a sound booth is part of the work of the Lord. Picking up visitors or shut-ins is work of the Lord. Visiting, like I said, helping in maintenance or repair, and the list is absolutely endless. to the word of the Lord. You say, Brother Sewell, can you prove that? I can. Look in the 16th chapter, if you would. Look, we'll be in the 19th verse. It says, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. He said, with the church that is in their what? Their house. So here it was, Aquila and Priscilla. They're not ministers. They're not the pastors. But the church is in their what? House. They are being a part of the work of the Lord. Just by opening their home to have a church in it is being part of the word of the Lord. Turn, if you would, back with me to Romans chapter 16. And I'm going to show you Paul is closing this chapter. And I want you to see where he talks about those people that helped him and were part of the work of the Lord. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 1, Paul says this, I commend you unto Phoebe our sister, which is a servant of the church, which at Sentry, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer or a help of many and of myself also. Now the Bible calls her there in the first verse a servant of the church. Then he said she's been a great help to me also and to many other people. Verse number 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers, how? In Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only have I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. You mean all the churches were blessed because of Aquila and Priscilla and the Gentile nation? Yes, is what Paul is saying. He goes on to say, likewise, greet the churches that are in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epnatus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Look at verse 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Look at verse number 9. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Look at verse number 12. Salute Trypena and Tryphosa, who labored in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much, what? In the Lord. I mean, you just go through Paul's list. Forgive me for the names. I probably didn't say them right. But forget that part. And look where you see all these particular people, not pastors, not missionaries, not evangelists, not in full-time Christian service, doing and being a part of the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? The work of the Lord is whatever we can do to help people that are in and help promote the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is to get the gospel out to those that need it, to help those that need there in God's house, and to help those that are in need. That's the work of the Lord. And so the church needs help. I need help. The Lord wants your help. He asked us. He said He's given you a talent. He's given you ability. He's given you gifts. He's given you opportunity to be in the work of the Lord. Don't look for that high-ranking position. Serve God where you can and let God open the doors for other places. And God will open. You are part of the work of the Lord. We had here just a few weeks back the blessed privilege of being able to baptize 3 boys that follow the Lord in believers' baptism at VBS. They got saved at VBS and they follow the Lord in believers' baptism. But do you know this, that I baptized them? I didn't lead them to Christ. Does that mean I don't have part of that? That doesn't mean I don't have part of their life? That gift, that reward that God's going to give because of them being born again and saved? There were 2 ladies that were out front mostly, I think Miss Joyner and Miss Kathy, that took registration during VBS. This happened during VBS. That registration, they took those boy and girl's name, made sure they had registered as good as possible. Were they part of that work? Those people being saved? Absolutely. How do you think we found them? How would you find somebody without somebody making a record of it? You think about those, we had a puppet show right here. There was 2 people participating in the puppet show. You think they weren't part of that? every person that helped be part of the VBS were part of those, I don't know how many souls, eight souls maybe, that trusted the Lord as Savior. Every one of you that were part of that were part of the work of the Lord. That's the work of the Lord. And that's what we need to be a part of. He says, let us abound in the work of the Lord. Now we come to the second thing I want to see. Paul says he gives us responsibilities or rules as far as doing our work. So we go back to the 58th verse, if you're not there already, and he gives three fundamental rules. I remember when I first went to work for UTAB, I had all kinds of questions. I didn't know what in the world I was doing, but I just went to work. But they began to tell me what I needed to do. It took me years. I still don't know if I really know what all it was about. I do know what the whole scheme of it was all about. And I began, as I became more familiar with all that I had responsibilities, things I was supposed to do, I understood the purpose and the plan for doing what I did. So you may not understand all God's plan, God's purpose, or God's outcome. But he gives us the rules that are fundamental in the work of the Lord. And so you see them here, and they're pretty plain. The first one, he says, is steadfast in the work of the Lord. Then he gives unmovable in the work of the Lord. Then he says what? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Those are three pretty fundamental rules that he gives. And so the first one I've got listed down is to be steadfast. That word means to be firm, to keep standing. Don't let the winds and the waves of opposition push you off course. The Lord is going to take you, if you're a Christian, especially if you begin to try to serve the Lord in the work of the Lord, you're going to begin to face opposition. You're going to begin to face trials. You're going to begin to face temptations. I said this morning in Sunday school, but look in the 16th chapter there, and look, if you would, back at verse number 9. Paul said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many what? Adversaries. Paul said, I got a great opportunity. The church of Ephesus, he said, God has opened a great door and an effectual door. Matter of fact, out of his ministry at Ephesus, practically every church that was started in Asia can be stemmed back to the church of Ephesus. That was a great opportunity, a great door that only God could open and only God could close. But he said, while I'm working in that work, there were many adversaries. You know what he was saying, that word adversaries? It means many people that were lying against me. Many people that were speaking evil of me. Many people that were trying to resist the work that I was doing. Anytime you're going to serve the Lord, work for the Lord, go forward for the Lord, God's going to put you through a trial, a testing, and at the same time, a temptation by Satan is there. Now, the temptation is from Satan, the trial is from God, and God uses both of them in our life to make us steadfast and mature, to make us what we ought to be as Christians. God puts us through those trials. So he wants us to be mature, steadfast. There are coming the winds and the waves. There always will be troubles, partly because of just the fallen nature that which we live in. I heard Brother Rogers give an illustration. He said, how many of you would like to get on a plane that's never been tested? You would say resoundingly, not me. Is God going to test a Christian? How would you like to put a Christian behind a pulpit that's never been tested, never been endured, never went through any trial, never went through any trouble? That's part of life. And that's why he says there, he said, you need to be steadfast in the work of the Lord. Then he gives the next one. He says, we need to be unmovable. I want to illustrate about steadfastness. And I illustrated, there's several ways I thought about illustrating, but one way I want to illustrate is, for about a year, I worked at an elevator company. I quit my company I was working for, And I went to work for the elevator company. My dad was an elevator, retired from the elevator field. And so he got me a job with the elevator company. And I remember I went to work, and I was just a helper, just a grunt. And I remember I was still living home at the time, and I went to work, and this particular elevator, they were putting in downtown Mobile, and it was, I think, a four-story elevator. It was a hydraulic elevator. So as far at that time, the piston had to go four floors down in the earth to go up four floors. And so we had to dig a hole, or I had to dig a hole, four floors deep. That was at the time. You know how hard a work that was? And then I'm down in the pit shoveling it back up into a wheelbarrow. Then I had to get out of the pit, take that load of dirt, and roll it all the way to wherever they were dumping that dirt, somewhere in the back behind that building, and then come back and do the same thing over and over and over again. I remember Bill that was working there. He was running the show. He said, "Brother, I know you're going to make it." He said, "Because the other two or three helpers I had has already quit." But I was thinking to myself, "Brother, I'm on the edge right now. I'm on the edge." You know, for 2 weeks, I think it was solid 2 weeks, I went home and I laid in the bed and I never ate supper. My mother probably called, but I never ate. I was wore out. But you know, after about 2 weeks, you know what happened? My body was feeling pretty, was getting accustomed to it. And that's the same thing with us in the work of the Lord. We're going to go through the trial, go through the trouble. At first, you panic, but the longer you serve Him, the more you begin to what? Trust Him. So you know what? I've been down that road, Satan. I've already traveled that road, and I know God is faithful. And I'm going to be steadfast amidst a storm. And so He says, unmovable. Are you going to be unmovable? What does it take to move you? So often people are so immature. And I'm not talking about age. You could be old, but they'll leave a church because somebody didn't shake their hand. Are you unmovable? How about unmovable in the work or the walk of the Lord? How about unmovable in the place that God has put us and allowed us to be? How about unmovable in our walk with the Lord? And many people have given so much faith that God has brought them so far, and they're losing ground. I have come this far in my Christian life, and that's God that brought me here. But I don't want to lose where I'm at. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to sit and just do nothing and soak and talk about what God used to do. I want to say God is still doing a work, and the fruit is still coming forward. And so He's saying we need to be unmovable. Unmovable. We need to be unmovable from our biblical convictions. I hope you have some convictions that are non-negotiable. I'm not going to move by God's grace from I believe with every ounce of my soul. This is God's inherent, inspired Word of God. Not that it contains the Word of God, but that it is the Word of God. Without error. You say, well, man, there's errors because man wrote it. That's the devil's lie, just like in the Garden of Eden. God didn't say that. Man says that. If God can keep me, He can keep His Word. If God inspired and preserved and keeps His Word, just like He does my own soul. This is God's Word. I hope you have some convictions over God's Word. If it's man and has errors, where are they at? What if the errors could be, it's not by grace through faith? If there's errors, it could be that maybe it's by works. You see what I mean? Where are the errors? When you start thinking beyond the statement, you realize how foolish the statement really is. And so when you look at it, we need to have convictions, not only the Word of God, but on salvation, resurrection, the blood atonement. We ought to have some biblical conviction to say, I'm not going to move from this position. But it needs to be biblical. Are we unmovable? Today, people will move and swap churches just because the personality behind the pulpit or the music. Does it make any difference that when they preach and teach the Word of God, they believe you're going to lose your salvation? Does it make any difference to you on those things? They don't believe in the inspiration of Scripture if you look at them and talk to them and talk to the preacher. And brother, it doesn't. I'm not just talking about another faith. I'm talking about in Baptist churches because I was part of one. that when I began to talk to the preacher, I found out what he believed, what I believed, what the same thing. It wasn't biblical. And so I left that church and went to another church. And so Job said in verse number 13, chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job said, no matter what I lose, I'm going to trust him. I'm not going to be unmovable. Brother, he lost about everything a man could lose. Then he says, always abounding. Third one, third rule, steadfast, unmovable, and abounding. Abounding. Let me ask you this question. Are you abounding, Christian? You abounding in the work of the Lord? I'm going to answer it out loud. She said, Brother Sewell, my health is not what it used to be. You may not abound in what you used to do, but you can abound in other areas. You can abound. I told you and showed you many ways, and those were just a snippet of God's work and God's abounding that we can have in our own life. And so I thought about here recently going down the road, I saw these combines, and all this corn. I drove by one, and this combine had all this golden corn for feed and things in the back of its reservoir. And I thought, in that corn, just that little stalk, you know what it had? It's just one little seed that was planted. But when you plant that seed, it brings forth two or three husks with literally hundreds, if not thousands, of seeds. You know who makes us bountiful and abound? The Lord. The Lord, if we're in the Lord's work, God's responsible for the abounding. I'm responsible for the work. I just do the work that I'm supposed to do, and the Lord will bring the abundance. God will be. It may not even be in this day and age, but God is the one that's keeping the record. And then lastly, thirdly, I put, in the work of the Lord, our labor is not in vain. Our labor, back over to 58th verse, he says, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As long as your labor is in the Lord, it'll never be in vain. Jeremiah, if you were to talk to him, I don't know what he'd said. I think he would have kept on going. At one time, he quit in the ministry. He quit the ministry, Jeremiah did. But he said, within my soul burned the word of God. God's word burned me. I couldn't keep quiet. I had to preach. I had to declare. You know that they beat Jeremiah. They starved Jeremiah. They threw him down in a prison. They rejected him and they hated him. If you were to ask Jeremiah, Jeremiah, was your labor in vain? Did you see any converts? No. Did you see any fruit? No. Was your labor in the Lord? Yes. My labor's in the Lord. If you were to ask him today, his labor was not in vain. Apostle Paul, like I said, you look at New Testament Christianity. Anybody that's laboring for God will face trial, temptation. Apostle Paul set out to serve the Lord with all of his heart. He gave all diligence. He was beaten. He was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was left for dead, and he was hated. And even by his own disciples at one time, they all forsook him in one sense or the other. Most of them forsook him. If you were to ask Paul, says, you're laboring in vain. This is what Paul said to Timothy, pastor. He said in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Our work is not in vain in the Lord. It's the work of the Lord, the work of the Lord, that the Lord blesses. What are we doing in the work of the Lord? I was listening to a show a lady was giving a testimony about how she was just a teenage girl. And she was talking to teenagers. She was an elderly lady. I say elderly. She's probably my age, maybe a little younger. It's hard to tell with ladies. They do a good job with the makeup. But anyhow, she was talking to these teenagers. And she began to talk about how she had a trial or trouble in her life. She said she had been waiting, got an opportunity. I think she won like a placement in her school to go be part of a state championship or whatever, just a state. I think it was something to do with education, maybe science. I don't remember which, but I just know she was part of this group. And most, when she got to go on this trip, everybody was there were lost or at least were public school kids. She was the only Christian or a kid that came from a Christian school. She said, I got immediately known as there's a Christian kid. And so all the discussions, she said, when it come to religion, all had to be about me. But she said, we had an opportunity to go to a play. And she said, I was so excited. She said, man, I was so excited to go to this play. And she said, we had to have, I think, a date. She said, so I had this fella, he was a good-looking young man, asked me out. She said, I had a nice dress. She said, I was looking forward to go to this play. She said, so it was just picture perfect. She said, I go to this theater, go to this play. And she said, I sat down. And she had these actors. She said, I'd read the whole thing as far as the little brochure and everything. She said, when they began to talk, she said, the most profile and vain language began to come out of these actors' mouth. She said, immediately the Holy Spirit said, you need to leave. She said, I told the Lord, no, I'm not leaving. Lord, I've been waiting for this. This is my day. This is my time. This is my moment. And she said, not long after, the Holy Spirit said, you need to leave. She said, I obeyed the Lord. And she said, I went back to one of our counselors or one of the people that was chaperoned. She said, look, I need to go. I can't stay through this. And the counselor said, I understand. I'll take you back to the hotel. She said, I went back to the hotel while the rest of them stayed. And she said, I just bawled. She said, I just cried and just said, Lord, why me? Why couldn't it be, you know, this play? Why couldn't it be this? She said, I just gave a big old pity party, you know, just blaming God. And she said, after the play, said, the young man that was my date called me up at my room and said, I need you to see you. I want you to come down to the lobby and let's talk. And she said, this guy was a foreign exchange student, and he said, I don't know, he said, what you have, but what you have is different. He said, I want it. Tell me about it. So she told him about the Lord Jesus and led him to Christ. And then he went back over to Germany, went to seminary school, started churches or pastored churches, and continued to pastoring today. All because she just took one stand. Really just what we wouldn't consider the work of the Lord. But it's part of the work of the Lord, just sharing the gospel, taking a stand, doing the work of the Lord. Are we steadfast? Are we unmovable? Are we abounding in the work of the Lord? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.